Welcome back to Cairo Nights. Currently 8:06. Frank Shire's in the newsroom. Shane Peterson on the ones and twos. That's the way I like to start a show, without my coworkers harassing me, insulting me to my face.
Come on. Can you say thin-skinned?
Oh, no, I appreciate it very much. I love a good ribbing. I really do. And it was a great jest at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. Frank, what is Tommy John surgery? I've heard the phrase so many times, but I'm not a sports guy. I have no idea what Tommy John's surgery
The genius in regards to sports anything is in the next room on the ones and twos. Ask him. Ask Shane.
From my understanding, I might be wrong, Frank. We can hear you type and make sure I'm doing this right.
Yeah, I'm Googling
it. Tommy John, from what I understand, it's the inside, one of the inside ligaments inside your arm. And pitchers who usually throw a lot, and the way that they teach you how to pitch and how they kind of teach you how to throw it to the side, it's a stress of a certain ligament that's like very, very hard to repair. So Tommy John's is they basically cut open the inside of your elbow and rearrange a bunch of your ligaments so you could actually be able to use your arm and have full function of your arm.
Oh, man, I've never had to get surgery
in my life.
If there's
anybody out there in the text line who'd like to tell me that I'm right or wrong, please tell me what's going on.
I can tell you that Wikipedia is raising its hand and saying he's right.
206 says, are you guys going to have Stein's Mind? Of course we are. That is in the 9 o'clock hour. Stacey Joe Rost comes in. We're going to be talking about how I was catcalled. Really interesting experience that I had. I was catcalled, Frank Shires. You're going to have to stick around at 9 o'clock to hear that story, though, because it is rich, rich, devil's food, rich. let's get into five things that you may have missed, Shane Peterson.
Five things you may have missed.
There is a coach in New Hampshire, a state that I lived in ever so briefly, who has decided to resign from his position as the track and field coach because of the guidelines that have been put in place around these kids having to wear masks while running. His name is Bradley Keys, and he is a hero because he said that he would not allow these young kids, these young track and field kids, to run with these masks on. The reason that he's a hero, if you don't know, if you're not a runner, when you're running, you have to breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. It's very easy to get what we might call gassed, where you're just so out of breath that you start hyperventilating. There's a lot of things that can go wrong with running. I know it might seem really easy, but when you're running at that level, you have to be able to breathe effectively. Otherwise, it's a health risk. He understands this as a track and field coach. The people who put this restriction in place, saying that these young kids would have to wear masks while sprinting 100 yards, these people have no idea what they're talking about. So he decided to stand up for these kids and say, I won't participate in it. And he is a hero, and we should salute him. Here's a little bit of the audio from the local affiliate in New Hampshire.
I just think people haven't pushed back, and I decided it was time to push back.
Brad Keys was fired this week as the track and field coach at Pembroke Academy in Pembroke, New Hampshire, and he has been outspoken about it online.
I made my choice, he made his.
Keys says he was not going to force his athletes to wear masks while competing.
Masks restrict breathing. There's no question about it, especially think about running full speed. The wind is in your face. It's shoving the mask back into your nose and your mouth.
He's one of my favorite people to run with.
Junior David Tesserman agrees with his former coach and is concerned about running with a mask on this spring.
It gets you really tired, especially on, it's going to get up to 80 degrees soon, and it's going to be really hard for us to keep doing what we like to do.
The New Hampshire Interscholastic Athletic Association's outdoor track guidelines recommend that athletes wear a face covering during competition.
So they'll be separated by a lane, which is about 6 feet.
Key says the masks are okay while the team is on the bus, but he does not think they're necessary outdoors.
So they say that he was fired, but if you read the letter that he wrote, it's effectively a resignation. He's saying, I will not participate in this activity for the safety of the kids. And again, this is the kind of hero that I feel like we need. We need someone to stand up and say, I happen to be the expert on this topic. This is dangerous for these kids. And I'll read you a little bit from the letter that he wrote to the school board. He said, "I will not stand up in front of the kids and lie to them and tell them that these masks are doing anything worthwhile out in an open field with the wind blowing and the sun shining." He also goes on to say that these policies are robbing kids of a once in a lifetime opportunity for no valid reason other than the irrational fears and going along with the sheep. Now, he probably could have left left that last part.
That would have helped your argument a lot if you didn't start using the whole sheep. That's the Achilles heel, man.
Yeah, you may be a little bit more tasteful, but I stand next to Bradley Keys and I say, as a runner, I run between 7 and 8 miles a day. There's no practical way to do that with a mask on. And in many cases, it is dangerous. And so again, I salute him as a hero. And speaking of heroes, I have been talking about what is going on with the homeless encampments outside of Broadville Thompson Elementary, as well as Meany Middle School, and I do not like the idea that nobody is doing anything about it, so much so that when I saw Cairo 7's coverage of these homeless encampments outside of these schools, I thought, wow, thank you so much for bringing the attention to this issue that it so desperately deserves, because they actually went out and they tracked down Mayor Jenny Durkin to say, hey, it's really dangerous for you to allow these encampments outside of these schools. What are you going to do about it? Her answer was not very good at all. But here's the Cairo 7 coverage. Here's just the initial 40 seconds or so of how they broach this issue about the homeless encampments. Here's what that sounds like.
I just think it's a recipe for disaster.
This homeless camp with dozens of tents is right behind Broadview Thompson Elementary.
I knew it had gotten bad, but I didn't realize how out of control it was.
For parent Serena Evans and many others, how close this encampment is to the elementary school is a problem. She says she's seen drug deals and fights.
To have my daughter running around and know that, not passing judgment, but usually with homeless encampments, there's drugs, which is needles.
Parents with kids at Meany Middle School, right next to Miller Park, have similar frustrations. You can see some of the campers are actually on school property.
That is the most insane part of this whole thing. Go and watch this clip on Cairo 7. There are tents set up on school property. Just there. And I appreciate the mom coming out and saying, hey, I don't want to pass judgment. And mom, to you, I would say this, as a former drug addict, please pass judgment. I don't mind at all. If you want to be judgmental of people who are living on school property and doing drugs around children, that is a excellent place for judgment, if I can say so myself. We should be judging those people and shaming those people, because there are other homeless people out there who do have, let's say, a certain amount of ethics. And they say, no, I'm not going to be in an elementary school. No, I'm not going to be around these kids. No, I'm not going to be shooting dope around these kids and leaving my needles around. That does exist in the homeless community. These homeless individuals are taking advantage of the fact that they know that they won't be asked to leave. And how do they know this? Because this is the policy from the highest tippy top that you could get. Mayor Jenny Durkin comes out, and listen to this non-committal response. I know that she's not running again. I know that she has no interest in being the mayor. But if you would just so kindly do your job, that would be great until you salute everybody and move on to a higher position. Here's Cairo 7 interviewing Mayor Jenny Durkin.
CDC regulations said we had to leave people in place, and it's having significant impacts on communities.
She said the city has been doing outreach for weeks here at Miller Park
to move people out of the park into somewhere safer and to clean up the park. We've been working with the school district on trying, as you know, their property. They have the responsibility for working on it. And we've been trying to give them some of our assistance.
I despise that answer, by the way, Shane. The CDC guidelines say that we have to leave people in place. That is so non-committal. That's so gross. Irresponsible. It is so gross. I don't care where you fall on the political aisle to say, well, the CDC says we have to leave people where they are. We're talking about children, Jenny Durkin. We're talking about small, innocent children. It is disgusting that somebody would have that position to say, well, the CDC says we got to leave people where we got to leave people. What? You're the mayor. This is your job, is to fix things like this, and you default to the CDC, and you come... I don't know why people do this. I have no idea why people ascend to the ranks of power. You have all of the control, all of this power at your fingertips, and what do you do with it? You default to other people, and you say, well, the CDC says we gotta leave people in place. Move them anywhere else! Put them in front of a bowling alley. Put them in front of a Denny's. I don't care. Anywhere but a school. That would be phenomenal. And here's the statement, by the way, speaking of cowards, here is the school board members sharing a statement on Facebook. Here's what they wrote and put on Facebook. Here's what that sounds like.
Our students deserve to see the adults in their lives behave compassionately. We demand sweeps never be used on school grounds, adjacent or elsewhere. This mom says she also wants those unsheltered to be treated with compassion.
Let's see what we can do for them. This isn't benefiting the kids, and it's not benefiting the people who are homeless. The people who are homeless are not getting treatment.
But she says this just is not working.
You got to keep the kids safe no matter what, and this isn't safe.
You are on the school board. Your job is to care for children, not the homeless drug addicts who have tents on school property. That is your job. When did we allow people just to become activists randomly? I'm on the school board. Our students deserve to see adults in their lives behave compassionately. You know what's the most compassionate thing you can do for drug addicts? As a former drug addict, is you don't let them rot on school property. That is the most compassionate thing that you could do. I get so sick of all of these kind of liberal blowhards trying to talk about all the compassion we need to have for drug addicts. I had compassion for 10 years. As a drug addict, I get so sick of the way that they talk about it. Has anybody asked me, former drug addict? Has anybody come to me and said, hey, Jack Stein, we got a drug problem in the city of Seattle. How do you think we should solve it? I got it. Here's what you do. You cut off resources. You tell people that they can't live that way, and then you send them to rehab. And if they don't want to go, sorry, you can't be in city limits. That's how you fix it. You have to cut drug addicts off. And yet I get this kind of liberal nonsense from people where they talk as if we don't know what we're talking about. Ask any ex-drug addict what we need. It is standards. And when you give drug addicts no standards, what do? They continue to be drug addicts. And again, comma, if I haven't mentioned this every single night since I've had this job, I used to be a drug addict. I know a thing or two about being a drug addict. In fact, some people might say that I'm an authority on being a drug addict, as I have basically a PhD in street-level drug addiction. Moving on, speaking of a PhD in street-level drug addiction, Hunter Biden, I didn't get to this earlier in the week, but he did a really great interview where he was talking about drug addiction. And for as much as I might want to come down on Hunter Biden, I really do appreciate him going on national television with Tracy Smith and talking about his experiences as a drug addict. It takes a tremendous amount of bravery. It takes a tremendous amount of courage. And I salute him in doing this, because whether or not you think that Hunter Biden uses his dad's last name to get cushy deals, whether or not you think that Hunter Biden shouldn't be on the board of Amtrak, and the only reason he got that deal is because his dad is president of the United States, whether or not you think that Hunter Biden shouldn't have been using Air Force 2 to fly to Russia to collect millions of dollars, whether or not you think that all of that is a big deal or not, the most important thing is that he came out and he said that he was sorry and that he had been addicted to crack cocaine and addicted to vodka, and that he was sorry. But he also appreciated the love that he got from his father. And it's a really touching interview. The part that I empathize with the most is he comes out and he says, I used to smoke drugs off of the carpet. He says, I used to find things on the carpet. And it's this really human moment where he kind of peels the curtain back on what drug addiction looks like. Here is Hunter Biden talking to Tracy Smith a couple days ago.
You would wake up some mornings, I shouldn't even say some mornings because you slept for like 15 minutes at a time,
yeah,
and be looking for crack and just smoke whatever was there?
Yeah, I spent more time on my hands and knees picking through rugs, smoking anything that even remotely resembled crack cocaine. I probably smoked more Parmesan cheese than anyone, anyone that you know, I'm sure, Tracy.
Because there'd be crumbs mixed in and
yeah, I mean, I went one time for 13 days without sleeping and smoking crack and drinking vodka exclusively.
I was that guy, too, so I understand that from Hunter Biden. I don't know Hunter Biden, but I know him. And I was that guy myself, on the carpet, going through, looking for stuff. So I empathize with it. And to commemorate him being so brave, again, we could talk about all of his other shortcomings as a man and as an individual. But to commemorate that, Shane whipped us up a phenomenal Shane drop as a salute to the man, Hunter Biden. Shane, you want to give us a little taste of that?
Absolutely. I put so much thought into this song, and I hope you guys really enjoy it.
Let's go. Party rock is in the house tonight. Everybody just have a good time. And we gon' make you lose your mind. Everybody yep, just let it have a good time. Stop. Party rock is in the house tonight. Everybody just have a good time.
Smoking crack and drinking vodka.
Oh, that's the best one you've ever made.
I thought so too.
That is so beautiful. Too. That's so beautiful. Thank you so much for bringing that into the world.
You're more than welcome, Jack.
And finally, I just want to say that I found myself agreeing with something that the Biden administration did for the second time this week, which is they decided to reverse the decision to sell the Seattle National Archives building. We don't necessarily have time to play all the audio, but what I will say is I really do appreciate them stepping in and saying, hey, you know, we don't authorize the sale of this building. My only question would be, why didn't they provide funds to digitize all of this material? I understand that the Trump administration was trying to get the building sold and they were trying to move on from it. But why, if we have all of this material in the Seattle National Archives, and it's such valuable material, I recommend you go and watch the piece over at Q13. It goes into great detail about everything that is in there, all of the maps, all of the pictures. Why we don't digitize it and put it on a hard drive, or maybe three or four, and then move all that material somewhere else. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure why we need hard copies of everything, particularly in a building that needs $2 million of repairs and could potentially just go up at any time. You would think that we would want a massive, I don't know, Shane, call me crazy, that you would want a massive digital archive of all that kind of stuff.
I don't know, Ben. I'm happy that it's staying, but you do have a good point. Like, we can't just digitize it, but it just needs to belong in the right place.
I agree with you. I'm just saying, why can't we do both? You have the actual physical location with all those beautiful pictures, and then you have it all on digital format. That would seem to make the most sense to your Uncle Jack. We have to take a really quick break. When we get back, Billy Sunshine will be coming in, and we will be discussing some inconsistencies in the current Matt Gaetz saga. We'll be right back after this. On the line right now is my very good friend and my liberal menace, Mr. Billy Sunshine, the man who I bring onto the program to balance it out. We can only have so many independent, dynamic, free-thinking thoughts, Billy, before we just descend back into your liberal madness. My very good friend, Billy, who I love very much. Billy, the Matt Gaetz...
Hold on. Yeah. Before you get started, you claim to be Jack Stein?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Can you prove it?
What do you mean?
I mean, I'm suspecting you're a deep fake.
No, I'm not a deep fake. You think that robots could copy this high voice of mine? You think that robots could copy this inflection, Billy?
You mean they wouldn't want to?
Yeah. So, Billy, Matt Gaetz There's a bunch of stories.
Oh no!
There's a bunch of stories coming out about Representative Matt Gaetz, and many of them are, I don't want to say conflicting, but they're kind of all over the place. There was a story that came out about Matt Gaetz seeking a pardon from Donald Trump months ago about this alleged sex trafficking, but it's not sourced very well. There's a story that came out that said that Matt Gaetz is likely to strike a plea deal. That's what attorneys are saying right now. This is from CNN right now. Excuse me. Matt Gaetz' associate is likely to try to strike a plea deal. That's what the attorneys say.
There's the associate, the guy they originally got.
There's a, yeah, the associate. And then there's another story coming out that's saying, well, Matt Gaetz went to the Bahamas to try to cover up whatever's going on with this sex trafficking incident. But they are all poorly sourced. And they are from CNN, they are from MSNBC, and then they are from NBC. I'm not getting a lot of actual hard sources for these, but I think it would be interesting to look at how people are treating the Matt Gaetz sex scandal versus what we might see from either Joe Biden or Donald Trump. Joe Biden and Donald Trump very much so got kid gloves as it pertained to some of the allegations that women have made against them.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Gaetz is getting thrown right under the bus by everybody.
But nobody likes him. I mean, really, isn't that what life is about? You know, you get the coverage you deserve.
Well, I mean, I'm not
sure.
You
know, people... Go ahead.
I'm not sure that Matt Gaetz is getting the coverage that he deserves.
In what sense? Don't you think he's getting the coverage he deserves? I think he's getting exactly the coverage he deserves.
Okay, so
he's a frat boy with mommy's money that he used to buy women.
So
what's attractive about that? And then he shows off on the floor of Congress showing pictures of naked girls.
Oh, the revenge!
Like, I'm paying these people to work.
You're talking about the revenge porn bill that he voted against, which was a really unpopular stance, by the way. It was really awkward when he did that. But the reason that
why would you vote against it?
I don't know. Other than he was, I really have no idea. Other than you're a creep, exactly. I have no idea why he would vote against a revenge pornography bill like that, especially with the way that it was worded. I see no reason why he would vote against that, and also be the only person to do so.
It's about character. I mean, take a look at the people who were Trump's greatest supporters: the Matt Gaetzes, the Rand Pauls, the Mo Brooks, the Kennedy. I mean, these people are crazy liars in every single case. It's the company you keep, and it tells about who you are. That's why I hang around with you. It upgrades my status.
So, Billy, when you, because you grew up through the Kennedy era, you're familiar with just despicable characters in politics. People like JFK, people like his brother.
JFK wasn't despicable. What are you saying?
The things that he did in the White House were despicable, Billy. The things that the women have said about what JFK did to them is disgusting. The
interns, I don't know about that. You want to? I guess you can't. We can't talk about that.
No, I can't even.
Family radio.
No, you can't talk about it because it is that bad. But there is something about power and the relationship between men and women, and sometimes some politicians, men and other men, that is. I'm not sure. I haven't yet to put my finger on it, other than they're addicted to having some kind of hedonistic ritual with other people. I'll give you an example.
Sex, money, and power.
Exactly. Representative Katie Hill from California, you and I both remember this story because you and I did radio together when this story broke, that she was engaged with that weird kind of triad adult relations, to put it nicely, kind of group.
But it is adult relations. And there was nothing wrong with that. And it's amazing that she was forced to leave like that. And that's also the difference between Republicans and Democrats. When Democrats get in trouble, somehow they go away. And Republicans who, you know, play the moral card never give it up.
I don't know, Billy. I'll cite Steve King as an example of someone who got axed real quick from the GOP. But there are
he himself didn't go away. He never went away. They had to force him away.
So there's other examples, though, of people who have, like in the Democrats, who have been accused of being a bit of a lech, someone like Al Franken.
Exactly. And where is he today? In the Senate.
He got axed. What I am saying is that there is something going on with these men and women in positions of power, more often men in positions of power, where they are either engaging in this activity or they're placing themselves under suspect of engaging in this kind of activity.
Of course. It's what the patriarchy has always been. It's how we're trained.
Don't make
things
it
like
about.
Things like capitalism and patriarchy get men with money to think they can have anything they want, and we do want sex.
I think it has more to do, Billy, with just the psychological makeup of someone who is willing to cut a bunch of throats and step on a bunch of necks in order to get
too.
To the point of being a representative in the House of Representatives. And also, something about the psychological makeup of a small fraction of people in the House or people in the Senate who are just willing to completely... John Edwards is another great example of that, Billy, how he was shtupping the help, and then all of a sudden he has to come out and say, hey, everybody's super sorry about that. It derailed his entire political career. And
right, he was gone after that. Almost president, and now gone.
Yeah, no one even mentions him anymore. And so we see instances of this over and over and over again, but there are a select few people out there who seem to have been never touched by something like this. Someone like Bernie Sanders as an example. Someone like Ted Cruz. Someone like Mike
Pence. You know, I like what John Boehner said about Bernie Sanders. He's the most honest politician I know.
He did say that.
You know, because he's really been serious about this stuff that he, you know, that he talks about from day one. Yeah.
So getting back to
did you hear about the Boehner book?
Getting back to the Matt Gaetz thing, Billy, is that I would like to see a little bit more responsibility from mainstream media in their coverage of these issues, because I've got three articles here and none of them are well sourced. It is always an individual close to, someone familiar with, and they don't release
That's
the
gossip.
Source. That is gossip, and yet they are printing these headlines as if they are legitimate breaking news. And when you have to break something under the guise of someone affiliated with, someone familiar with, someone associated with, I begin to think, okay, well, I could say,
but that's because, go ahead.
I could say, oh, yeah, no, Matt Gaetz, he was with me the entire weekend. There's no way he was with that 17-year-old girl. Is that legitimate journalism, or is that just kind of, is that just complete fake news? A phrase you
well,
know that
yeah,
I,
exactly. Well, you know, that's where we find ourselves, in a position where some people are such so low that you wouldn't put your name on something about Matt Gaetz, because he'll take the money from his mommy and he'll put a hit out on
That's
you.
So
of course you wouldn't give your name. I don't know. You don't know and I don't know. I think we have a very low class of politician these days.
Yes.
And some of them, you know, like Marjorie Greene, you know, she wants us to know about her guns. So I'd be afraid to put my name if I would say something negative about someone of power who loves guns.
I don't understand that sentence, Billy. I think you just had a I think you just had a miniature stroke. You don't want to put your
I
name,
had a brain fart.
You don't want to put your name next to somebody who loves guns. That's a weird statement.
I don't want to put my name saying something negative about somebody who loves guns.
What?
Because people are unhinged and they might kill me.
Billy, you're having an Alzheimer's meltdown right now, and I don't know how I feel about it.
I do have Alzheimer's, but I'm not melting down.
I don't understand what you're trying to say to me right now, Billy. You're saying, oh, wait, I see. You're trying to say that if you are, say, negative about someone who is a gun enthusiast, that somehow they're going to use that gun against you. Billy, that is the thinking of a child. That's the way child.
Why?
If I say something.
Because people don't ever take their guns out and kill radio hosts, for example.
Okay.
You do know that radio hosts have been killed
by
the right wingers, right?
Billy, we're out of time. We have to get out of here. You're listening to Cairo Nights.
Convenient.
You're listening to Cairo Nights. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back after this. All right, welcome back to Cairo Nights. I just have to say hi to my buddy Joe and Victoria. They're up at Lost Lake, and Joe just texted me, and he said, I'm listening to you, dude. And I was like, Joe and I have been buddies for a while. So hi, Joe. Enjoy Lost Lake. And I want to borrow your M3. So Joe's got a really sweet BMW that I really want to drive. So I've been consulting the rule book, Frank Shires, and really quickly, it says on page one of the rule book that on the 8th of every month, we have to reset the points for the game. So it's someone can actually, you know, everybody starts back at an even playing field. But the host of the show starts with a dozen points. Again, I don't make the rules. I just follow the rules. So currently I'm at 12 points. Frank is at zero. Shane is at a big fat goose egg. So now that it's the eighth, we can actually now start the competition and we can get right into it.
Oh, all right. Well, let's see what this thing's got for us today.
Lord.
All right, Frank, this question is for you.
Okay.
You can have one secret video / audio feed from anywhere in the world. Where do you put it?
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
The Oval Office.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
I want it right there at the desk so I can hear Joe Biden sleeping.
That's
weird,
Frank.
He usually sleeps a lot anyways, though. Right. I mean,
he's napping like 18. He's like a cat. He's like just napping all day at this point.
Yeah, no, I want to be in that. I want to be in that room, as they say.
All right, Jack, same question for you. Where would you want?
Frank's drawing room. I want to know what Frank is doing.
You don't want to be there. It's ugly.
I want to know what Frank is doing in his drawing room. I want to know when Frank Shires is getting into it. I want to know how he pep talks himself. That's what I want to know.
Well, there is no pep talking. There's a lot of self-talking and a lot of self-recrimination, but very little pep talking.
A little bit of self-encouragement, too. Like, Frank, you can draw this.
Yeah, I know. That's never been said in my studio. I can draw this. No.
Oh, fair. I was giving you the benefit of the doubt.
Thank you, Shane. How about you?
For me, this is a really good one. I would say the writer's room in the SNL studios in New York City.
You hate them now.
I hate them. Again, I want to have it in there so I can hear them when they're talking about skits and bits that they want to do and how bad it's going to bomb.
Stealing other people's material.
Yeah, stealing other people's material and just also coming up with just complete and utter garbage. So I would love to be able to sit back and just be like, you still all suck. That's what
I think. I think I'm going to have to give the point to Frank on this one. I think Frank Shires got the point on this round.
I like Shane,
so now Frank's the Oval Office kind of is the cream of the crop there, and that would have been my answer, but as we all know, you cannot duplicate answers, otherwise you lose a point. That's just the way that it breaks down.
Right. Well, you know, the writing room in SNL is you could also refer to as the Oval Office of comedy, but
you lose a point.
Yeah, of course. I'm never going to win.
We
so
need
I might
another
as well
question.
Keep going for it. Yeah, exactly. Let's see what else this thing has. Here we go. All right, Jack Stein, how much of your body would you cyberkinetically enhance if you could?
Not a single portion of it. Robots, not a single solitary portion of it. No robot, nothing.
You wouldn't even want, like, robot legs to help you run longer?
Nope. No robot, nothing. I'm a sincere robophobe, and I refuse to capitulate to the robot menace.
Okay. Well, Frank, what about you?
You know, I have no desire to become a cyborg of any form. However, at my extended age, and you two will have trouble believing this, but I have been known to wear a knee brace when I ski. So I could probably get behind some kind of device that would keep my knees nice and steady when I'm on the slopes.
When you're saving the orphans.
That. Yeah,
yeah, and I'm saving the orphans, which is down at the bottom of the hill.
Hey, saving orphans or getting some turns, I can respect either answer.
Yes, right? Well, they go together.
Absolutely.
How about you, Shane?
For me, I don't know. I think at a certain point in my life, I'm going to want cyberkinetic hands because I've gotten my hands stomped on playing rugby and all my fingers broken multiple times. So I feel like in the future, I'm going to have some really bad jacked up hands. So I might have to have some robot feelers to help me get through the rest of the years that I might have. There's my answer.
We got time for a bonus?
We have time for one more. Let's see what we got.
Let's do it.
All right, this question is for me. How do you feel about books? My feelings about books is I wish that I enjoyed books more. but due to my learning disabilities and dyslexia, I struggle with reading all the time. And I've told Frank, I've told Mike, and I might have even said this to you, Jack, I envy people who are able to just go pick up a book and read for enjoyment, because that is not me. Yeah. Absolutely. Frank, how about you?
I think they're the best thing ever. I think they're the best medium, and I feel sorry for anybody, including you, Shane, that cannot just enjoy reading for pleasure. Jack?
I never learned how to read, so it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy all around.
That's right.
We have to take a really quick break. When we get back, Stacey Jo Rost will be in here for Inside Stein's Mind. Stick around. You're going to hear a story about Jack Stein getting catcalled. We'll be right back after this.